with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus, it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Do you understand all these things?" They answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So now, this morning, I'm going to try and follow a little plan in the next 7 or 10 minutes. And the plan is that I'll give you a tiny little bit of background to the gospel reading this morning. Then I have two short little stories to tell you, and then we'll draw a conclusion, hopefully. So the background to the gospel this morning, we're just going to look at the treasure in the field, because that's very, very interesting. And you got to paint a picture. Jesus is talking to ordinary people of his time. Most of them would be farmers or working on a farm or manual workers. And so they would be gathered around him. And normally these little discussions or stories that Jesus told were often in the evening time when things would quieten down. And then we're told Jesus got into a boat and moved back a little bit, and that would improve the acoustics. All very, that's a little bit of the background. The treasure in the field, what's the real meaning of that? Well, at that time, because the area where Jesus operated and where those people lived were a kind of a land bridge between Asia and Africa. And often there were the people in that area, they were invaded by different forces. And so people in those days had the practice of maybe hiding their treasures in a bucket or in a pot in a field, you know, digging a hole in a field, burying their treasure and covering it over again. And so that's a little bit to the background. So that explains how this man, so to speak, found treasure in a field. Now, that's where this parable brings up more questions than answers, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. So it brings up the question of that man finds the treasure in the field. He doesn't own the field, right? But he finds it. And then he goes And he gets rid of everything he has. He sells everything he has, and he goes and he buys the field. Now, doesn't that smell of insider trading, if you used a modern day phrase? He bought the field with the prior knowledge that the field was more valuable than the actual price of the field because of the hidden treasure. So was Jesus recommending that? And I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, I'm going to pause for a moment, and I have two little stories, and I printed them out because I want to read them to you rather than try and remember. And the first story is about a man called Ron Delbene. And Ron was searching for answers in his life. You know, that applies to most of us, doesn't it? We're, you know, searching for answers, looking for a real purpose in life, a real meaning. And someone told him about a man in Los Angeles who had a reputation for being a very wise spiritual guide. And so on a business trip to the West Coast, Ron made an appointment to go and see this wise man. All he could think about was the upcoming meeting with the one who surely had the answer. Answer in big capital letters. So he went up the coast only to discover on arrival that a man was not there. The longer he waited, the angrier he became. And finally, the man arrived. "I don't know which was greater," said Ron, "my anger or my disappointment." Ron remembers this little short, slightly built person. He didn't look anything like a wise man or a guru, the kind of guru that I had pictured. He didn't even have a beard. I don't know what difference that made, but he didn't even have a beard. Ron thought perhaps the teacher would place his hand on his head or heart, and I will explode in ecstasy and joy. But that didn't happen. The wise teacher simply rattled off three things Ron should do. And before Ron had a chance to respond or ask any questions, this so-called wise one left the room. And Ron felt absolutely disappointed and disillusioned, having come all that way and just this brief meeting and three short things. After Ron returned home, his wife, Eleanor, asked him about his meeting with the guru. She listened intensely to her husband's every word. "Well, he told me there are three things I must do," Ron said. "One, pray unceasingly. Two, go home and love my wife and children. And three, do what needs to be done." Eleanor looked straight at Ron and said, "Thank God someone finally told you that. What the teacher told was true." In retrospect, Ron writes, "The teacher was a far wiser man than I appreciated at the time." What's the moral of that story? And it is, our greatest treasure is at home. Do our daily things to the best of our ability. There's the treasure. Now, a more humorous story. You can imagine this has happened. A man and his wife pulled into a gas station, And as their tank was being filled, the attendant, you don't often find one of those nowadays, the attendant washed their windshield. But when he finished, the husband said, "It's still dirty, wash it again." "Yes, sir," said the boy, searching for any spots that he might have missed. "It's still dirty," barked the driver when he was done. "Don't you know how to wash a windshield?" So the poor kid went about it a third time, very, very carefully. When he finished, the husband screamed, "It's still dirty. You're the lousiest windshield washer I've ever seen. Who's your manager?" With that, his wife leaned over, removed his glasses and cleaned them. And miraculously, the windshield was spotless. Now, what's the conclusion of all that? I think for the conclusion, we might need to go back to the first reading this morning, a reading from the Book of Kings. And if God were to ask you today, you can have anything you wish, anything, anything, what would you ask him for? What would you ask him for? And God asked him for the gift of wisdom and understanding. Now, that's something I pray for every morning of my life, the gift of wisdom and understanding. And does God answer that prayer? I think he does. So what, at this moment in your life, what's making you unhappy? What are you searching for? If you remember what God said to Solomon, "You have asked rightly, because riches or success or fame ultimately are not going to make you happy. Because when you die, all these things die and disappear. You can't take them with you." So, what am I trying to do in my life? What is the treasure I'm seeking? And the treasure I'm seeking is my true self, not my false self. Because all the other things, fame, success, are the three P's: power, possessions, and prestige, are all part of the false self. And if you really pray for that, you'll discover you can find it. So I'm going to leave you with one final question. And maybe it would be good if you were to talk about this at home today and discuss it. And maybe with your family or maybe a friend, what did you get from that parable this morning? And if I was asked today, how many friends do you have, real friends? I'd have to stop and think. Real friends, I think, would be few and far between. Real. I do have some very good friends in my life, as probably we all have. But real friends. And if somebody were to ask you, who's your best friend? Who's your best friend? Well, it's embarrassing maybe to say it, but my best friend is Jesus. Above all other friends, I can honestly say my best friend is Jesus. Can you say that?